We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hey there, Redemption Church. How you doing today? You doing good? Yeah. I'm glad. Happy Father's Day. Today is Father's Day. This is your alert right here that if you have not called your father, if you've got a father on planet Earth that you can call, you need to call him today. Pick up the phone. Don't send a lousy text. Do not send an email. What is this, a business interaction? No. You call your pops. You tell him thank you. You tell him that you're thinking of him and that you love him. Is that okay? Can we do that today? All right. If you are a dad, we greet you today. We encourage everyone to reach out to their dads. We believe that we're supposed to honor our father and mother. Make sure your father is honored today. Can I tell you that the world needs dads? You better believe it. The world needs some stand-up men that are willing to serve their families, that are willing to protect their families, that are men enough to admit when they're wrong, and they're men enough to try to fix things that they've broken. The world is really in need of some good dads today. We need them. We need them. The world needs them. I'm thankful to be a dad. I want to introduce to you someone real special, Joshua Harley Fluitt. Get a load of this guy. He was born on July 18th, weighing 7 pounds, 15 ounces, almost 8 pounds. Sarah was like, gosh, I wanted one more ounce. 8-pound bragging rights. All right. Sarah and I want to thank all of you for praying for us. We went from we really were worried about having another stay in the NICU, worried about this baby coming too soon. And this baby, God heard our prayers, and this baby came right on time. We're so happy. We're so thankful about it. And I can't wait for you to meet Joshua Harley Fluitt. We are starting a new sermon series today, and it is called Future Family. Today is going to be introductory. So you might leave today with more questions than answers. Like, how do I do that? You just opened up a whole can of worms. How do I do that? Well, that's kind of purposeful, Mark, because we want you to come back the next week, all right? So please come back for the rest of our series. Here's a quick outline of that series. Week one is introductory. Week two, we're going to be talking about future marriage, all right? And if you're not married today, that's all right. That week is still for you. And future kids. And even if you don't have kids today, that's okay. That series is for you. There's a future tense, and it's all going to click, okay? Do not, not show up that day and say, well, I don't have any kids. I never want to have any kids. No, you come on that day. Do not miss out. And then week four, we're going to talk about your future. Make plans to be here the rest of the series, okay? Make plans. Change plans if you have to, okay? All right? Invite people that you care about to come with you, all right? Invite them and share the word with them online, all right? Somebody that's not able to be here today, share this sermon with them. I want to tell you today, very straightforwardly, that you have a future. Right. And that might not sound like the biggest revelation, but it's huge. And it's really big because most of us live like we don't have a future. But we do have a future. I'm telling you that you do. If you live the next second, the next minute, the next hour, the next day, month, years, you have a future. It is very likely that the sun will rise again in the future. Would you agree? In fact, I would probably put money on that bet if anyone wants to bet against the sun not rising in the future. There is a future out there, and your future is important. If it is decades from now, or if it is just the very next moment, can I tell you that your future is important? Both futures are very important. The next second is very important, but also the next decade. Your future matters, every bit of it. There's not like a throwaway day. We throw away days, but there are no throwaway days. Your future is a gift given to you. I want to tell you that the saddest people on earth are the ones that live like they have no future. So live your life like you have a future. It's important, all right? Live life like your future is important. God's plan for you includes a future. You probably know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. We talked about this verse every once in a while, like in our Twisted Scripture series, but it points out something really important here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you two things. What? Plans to give you hope and a future. Oh man, you need both of those things. You need both of those things. You need hope and you need a future. If you're lacking one of those two things, don't leave today without getting it. If you have a future, but you don't have hope, you're the exact person I want to pray with at the end of service. All right. And if you have hope, but you don't think you have a future, I would question your hope. But I would like to pray with you also. You have a future. Even if you die, you have a future. Get this. You have an eternal life. There's two things I want you to get here. You have a future. Even if you died, if you kicked the bucket right this moment, if you believe in the Bible, you believe in eternal life. Real quick, advance. You believe in eternal life, Redemption Church? You believe in eternal life. We have eternal life. You should believe that after you die, it is not the end. You should not believe, if you believe in the Bible, you should not believe, well, life is, you know, it only matters while you're alive, and then, you know, once it's over, it only mattered to you. No, you should believe that your life absolutely matters and that it has an eternal life that's following, and that also matters. You've got to believe that. You need to believe that. Trust me, you need to. If you believe in the Bible, you should believe that you will spend life in one of two places, heaven or hell. So even if your physical earthly future ended right now, you still have an eternal spiritual future. The Bible talked to us about this in several places. Here's just two examples so you know what I'm talking about. Matthew 25 and 46, Jesus says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There's two choices and they're both eternal. And then Daniel 12 and 2. We'll get some Old Testament up in here. Daniel 12 and 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life. Others to shame and everlasting contempt. So right there it tells you multitudes who sleep. Multitudes who are dead and gone. They have a future still. They have a future either in everlasting life or in everlasting contempt, either in heaven or in hell. Do you know where your eternal future lies? That's a really big point blank question everybody in the face of the earth needs to be asked. Do you know where your eternal future lies? Do you know where you will spend that eternal future? Maybe you aren't sure about the Bible. Maybe you're looking at this online or could be in this room right now. Maybe you just aren't sure about the Bible. Maybe you outright reject the Bible as anything more than a bunch of stories. It's just a book full of stories, a storybook. Maybe you reject the idea of an eternal life after this life. Well, there is still a way that you have a future. So listen up. So even if you've disagreed with me on the eternal life, I want to tell you, you still have a future and this sermon is absolutely for you. I want to tell you that your choices and influence have a future. Your choices and your influences will live on. If you died right now, if you drew your final breath, the choices you made still have a future. There could be some good decisions you made that will affect the lives of others. And man, that's some great stuff right there. That there is some decisions you made while you were walking this earth that bless others after you're gone, that make life better for them. Maybe you made good choices with money investments, and then you made a will, which is a plan dictating how that money should be spent. And the choice you made, it still has a future. That's a beautiful thing. You could actually pay for someone's college that you never met because you were good with your money and you set up a trust for someone. That's amazing. That's your choices living on past you. Maybe the advice you gave to others still lives on. Maybe a memory of you brings a smile to someone's face long after you've passed from this earth. Maybe a laughter comes to a group of people. Have you ever been in a group of people and they tell old stories about someone who's no longer with us and we laugh and we have a good time and we all miss that person, but that person still has a future in our circle. We're remembering them and they brought a laughter to us long after the fact. Right. Because you have a future. You have a future That's what that's all about. And somebody says, do you remember the time? And I said, not only do I remember that, but I remember this. And it just keeps going on and on and on. Maybe someone thinks of the life you lived and they find encouragement and they find strength to face their battles. Do you have like someone that like that in your life? Yeah, I believe you do. I believe you know what I'm talking about. You have loved ones that have gone away to the grave, but your future is still impacted by them. You find yourself quoting them all the time. You find yourself saying, well, this is what they did in that situation. And you're letting them guide you. Some of you are in church today because your grandmother was in church. She might be all gone, but her future is still living because the choices she made in the life she lived, it impacts you. Even if you are placed into a casket, the life you live right now has a future beyond the grave. Isn't it powerful, the life that God has given us? Isn't it powerful what you could do in a day? That ability, that opportunity that God has given you. It's huge. It's impactful. Don't live life like you don't have this future at your disposal. Isn't it powerful that death can't erase your future? I've been so scared of death. I've been so afraid of death in my life. But you know, Mark, what I'm afraid of now? I'm afraid of death coming and I didn't live a life that lives past death. That's what I'm afraid of. Because death cannot erase your life. Your life still happened. The truth of you still happened. Your ability, your advice, your choices, all of those things. It cannot erase those things. And then, of course, if you believe in your spiritual soul in the hands of Jesus Christ, death has no sting, grave has no victory. It's all been swallowed up in the victory that comes from Jesus, and that's your cue to clap. That's your cue to say, I love Jesus. I love that truth. All right? Okay. I'll bring cue cards next time. No, guys, I'm so excited about that. If there's any reason to be a Christian, it's right there. If there's any reason to come to church today, it's because of that right there. If there's any reason to just lose yourself in worship, it's because you're living for a God who has done that for you. Yeah. Praise His holy name. Now, I gave you some good examples of future. I gave you some really good examples. I hope they gave you good, warm fuzzies on Father's Day. But there are also some bad ones. The choices you make right now can also negatively affect the future. They can leave a stain on the future. They can leave roadblocks, obstacles, hurts, bad habits to the future. You bet they can. Your example could negatively impact from beyond the grave. And I believe you know what I'm talking about there also. I know a woman who wouldn't hardly miss a church service. This was a church lady. She had her Bible in her hand. She had a song in her heart. And she had one of those big old church hats with the feathers. Flowers, like crazy. But, you know, I don't know if it's crazy. I'm sorry if I offended your hat-wearing internet people. But this was her. And she was a church lady. She was going to be a church come rain or come shine. Nothing was going to keep the church lady away from church. She was a good, sweet-hearted lady. But there was a day you could bet she was going to miss. And it was Mother's Day. She wasn't going to be. In fact, there were times she found out it was Mother's Day after she'd already come to church. And she left after the worship. Right? It's like, oh, I made a mistake. I don't come on Mother's Day. Now, here's why. She wasn't visiting her mother. It's like, oh my goodness, it's Mother's Day. I need to go travel out of town and go see my mother. No, that's not it. By the way, I'm sure that's where everyone is today that's not at church today. Wink. All right. She was not visiting her mother. She was missing church because her memories of her mother were full of hurt. And she couldn't bear a service that thanked God for our moms. Isn't that sad? There are a lot of people like that. She couldn't even hear about the good things about moms because every time she was like, no, that can't be true. No, you don't know my mom. I can't take this. I can't be in God's presence. I can't really worship and receive his word because of this hurt that happened in my life. So Miss Church Lady ducked out on church because of something that happened in the past. Someone who was dead in the grave. But the choices they made, the life they lived, the decisions that were brought out still had a future. Even though her mom was far from being in her life, that mom still had a future in the woman's life. Can I tell you that you have a future? You have a physical future. You have right now, the next second. Woo, you just stepped into the future. You just time travel. Congratulations. You have a spiritual, eternal future of heaven and hell, and you have the future that is brought on from the life you lived. So that's number one. You have a future. Here's the next thing. You have a family. You have a family. I hope you agree with this. You had a mom and dad. Everyone in here at least had a mom and dad. You might not be in the greatest of terms with them, but you had a mom and dad. You may have sisters and brothers. You may have aunts and uncles. You may have cousins. People that share your genetic heredity. But family goes beyond shared genetic makeup. Family is a lot more than that. I'm going to tell you that you have family. Even if you never knew your birth parents, which is totally possible. Even if you are the last surviving member of your biological family, you still have a family. Do not feel like you don't have a family today. Family, that is the people you share your life with. People that you share your life with. Not just sharing your genetic makeup, sharing your life. That's what family is. The people you share your triumph with. The people that you share your heartbreak with. That is your family. Can I tell you that your Bible says that you, the church, ought to rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. What is that telling you? It's telling you to be family. It's telling you to share life with each other. Not just the good stuff. Not just the bad stuff. But all the stuff. Sharing your life with family. Now, knock, knock, knock. Are you sharing your life with the people in this room right now? Are you sharing your life with the people at your Connect group? Are you sharing your life with the people that really matter? Are you closed off because that's not being a good family member? You have a future, but you also have a family. You that are sitting in church today, do you realize that the people in this room who share your burdens and rejoice with you in the good times, do you realize that they're your family and that you can count on them? Do you realize that? I hope you realize that. Wake up if you don't realize it. It's the truth. Ephesians 2:19 tells us this. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and, get this, members of God's household. What is he saying there? He's saying you're members of God's family. We're family together. The church I grew up, the old church, yeah, everybody called each other brother and sister. And I thought that was really cool until I got married and I called my wife Sister Fluitt one day. And she was like, that's creepy. And then we had to talk about it. It's not creepy that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are part of his lineage. He has changed our genetic makeup. And he has shared his life with us. And we share our life with him. You're part of the family of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So you have a future. You have a family. Let's put it together. You have a future family. That's what this whole series is about. Which is why we titled it that. Dwight. Do you ever try to think what your family will look like in the future? I just had a baby, so I'm thinking, well, is he going to end up looking more like his brother here or this brother? Or is he going to look more like me or more like Sarah? Who's he going to look like? What will our kids look like as adults? Or worse, what will they act like Scary thought. What will my marriage look like in the future? Maybe before you're ever married, you're like a kid and you're thinking of one day you'll be married. And you're like, I wonder what she'll look like, the person I marry. I wonder what he will look like. And I wonder what kind of job, I wonder what kind of house and what city we'll live in. I wonder what that'll be. What about your friends and church family? What does the future hold for them? Have you ever thought about that? What does the future hold for my friends? And there's been times I've worried about them. And there's been times, man, if they keep going the way they're going, it's going to be so awesome. They're going to walk right into God's powerful anointing for their life. Have you ever done that? You ever think about your future family? What part will I play in the future? When I reach the end of my life, will I have regrets? All this stuff that lies in front of me, what will it be like? I want to tell you that you have a future family, but more than that, I have to tell you, your future family needs saving. Your future family needs saving. One of my favorite movie series ever is Back to the Future. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right. A quintessential 1980s film, right? Amen. Absolutely. We showed you the clip at the beginning of the sermon where Doc Brown, played by Christopher Lloyd, shows up in his DeLorean time machine and he warns Marty, played by Michael J. Fox, Marty, your kids are in trouble. Marty, you got to come with me. It's bad. Your future family is in some sort of danger. And they have to go help them to avoid the future calamity. I love this idea. I love this scene for way too many reasons. One of my favorite ones is his girlfriend, Jennifer, when she realizes not only in the future she married to this guy, but she has kids. You can just see her life pass in front of her life. Her eyes like, oh my gosh, whoa, that's way too much information right there. I love that. Really, the only thing to change, however, in this scene, this great big huge thing happens. They hop in the DeLorean that flies away. And Huey Lewis in the news is cued and the music plays. But the real thing to happen in that situation is this. Information about the future is shared. That's really the only thing that happens. A guy shows up, he's wearing weird glasses and all the magical Mr. Fusion flux capacitor stuff. But really, what changes is someone shared information that wasn't previously known. In fact, they would have just gone on with their lives. Marty and Jennifer said they wanted to go out and drive in their truck today. It was the 1980s. That's what we did. We just get out in our truck. We're just going to go drive around in the truck. All right. But it is the knowledge that Doc Brown shared with them. Marty, your kids need saving. That changes everything. And it gave us a sequel. Amen. All right. Now, we don't have a DeLorean time machine here today. I looked in the budget. We came up just short. Just short. All right. We don't have a bolt of lightning or really cool sound effects. But I'm here to tell you, nonetheless, this critical piece of information, that your future family is in trouble. Your future family needs saving. Your future family is going to face some trouble. Here's just a few of them. Your future family is going to face character issues. Your future family is going to come up against places where they could steal, they could lie, they could do the wrong thing, they could cheat on their wife, they could cheat on their taxes, they could do whatever it is. They're going to face character issues that they need saving from. They're going to face discipline problems, money problems. They're going to face those things. They're going to face unforeseen crisis, heartache, and loss. I know you're saying, oh, that's a real downer. It's a real downer. Why are you telling all this? Thank you. I had this beautiful picture. No, hang with me. There is danger coming. There is trouble coming. Somebody's going to be needing salvation in the future from all this stuff. Your future family is going to struggle with faith. Your kids are going to have to come to their own grips about Jesus Christ. Your family's going to go through something one day that they kind of shakes them and they have to look at God in a whole new way. And they're going to struggle with their faith and they need some saving from that. I'm offering you, here's what I'm offering you today. I'm not making things worse. I'm offering you information that can change the scene. It can give you a scene change just by sharing this knowledge. And this, by the way, isn't knowledge I'm just plucking out of nowhere. This is knowledge that Jesus Christ shared in John 16:33. He said, in this world, you will have, say it. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So I'm telling you, your future family is going to have trouble. It's going to happen. So you should know this. We hope for the best, but trouble is coming for our family. But you have an opportunity to do something with this information. And that's what changes the scene. That's what changes everything. You have an opportunity to save your family, your future family, right now. And you don't have to jump into a DeLorean and hit 88 miles per hour and go somewhere else. No, right now, in this moment, you can save your future family. I want to tell you that the key to the future is in the present. The key to the future is in the present. When it comes to future problems, we often overlook the present. We say, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We've got plenty of time. We've got this future problem. Well, it's all right. We don't have to mess with that now. Present, present, present. We don't have to do that now. We'll worry about that later. Don't wait for the trouble to happen. It is often too late when you wait down the road. You can do something about it now. But instead of waiting, do something now. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, in the time of favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. When?
Now.
Now. As many times as I've read this verse, it has never said, oh, you just missed it. Yesterday was the day of God's favor. Like it was a calendar date. I read it yesterday and it said now, but I waited another day. I picked up the Bible and said, oh, too bad. Yesterday, it was yesterday at 3 p.m. Oh, so sorry. Closes the counter and walks away. You've been to places where they just like, sorry, we're closed. It's like, it's not closed yet. Right? I hate it when God does that. No, God's never done that. You've never opened up your Bible and said yesterday. Nor have you ever opened up your Bible and it said, oh, it's tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. It'll happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day of salvation. You just come back tomorrow and then it'll be all. It says today. It says now. It says the present is the day of salvation. Can I tell you that the key is the present?
Yeah.
So many people are tied up with their past and their failures in the past. None of that matters. Today, right now, is the day of salvation. And some people are tied up. They say, I'll never amount to anything because nothing good will happen in the future. You, honey, you put all of that down. Now is the day of salvation. You could save your family, your future family, if you could have that conversation you've been needing to have right now. Now, you've been putting off that conversation. Oh, you don't understand the past. I can't mess with that now because of all this stuff. We need to get a little further from that in the future. No, no, no. Have that conversation right now. You could save your future family if you just have that conversation. Pray, ask God to help you have that conversation. The reason it keeps coming back up in your mind, have you ever thought it could be God telling you have that conversation? How about this? Change your unhealthy habits. Change your character missteps. And don't wait to do it. Don't sign up for a course in 5 months. Do it now. It could save your future family. Start being present in your home. Present. You're right there and you're at home. When your son says, I want to be with you, you say, okay, work aside, I am with you. I'm present with you. When your wife says, I need to have a moment with you, I need to talk with you, you put down your phone and you say, here's my heart and my soul, here's my everything. I am right here now in this moment with you. You're not living in the future. You're not living in the past. You're present inside your own home. America is going to hell in our own homes because we aren't even living there. We're living in the future or in the past. And not in the present. How about starting right now? You be a role model. The role model that God has called you to be. Do you know he's called you to be something? Do you know that he's called you to be a city set on a hill? He's called you to be the light of the world. He's called you to be the light of the world that people look to and you can't hide it. It's what he's called you to be. How about this? Right now, you have a prayer life. Right now, you bow your knees and you pray. You don't let a day go by because you are living in prayer. The Bible tells you to pray continually. Wherever the present is, prayer is there. Pray without ceasing. Yeah. Too many times we as Christians said, there was a time in my life I prayed, or in the future, I'll pray. I'm telling you, you will save your future family. You'll wash away the sins of the past if you will start praying now. Anybody in this room want to be a prayer warrior? Somebody that prays? How about this? Worship. And not just at church. I tell you, you are missing out on worship if you're not doing it all the time. You are missing out on worship if you aren't constantly living in a mindset, in a heart that says, Jesus, I thank you for this day. Jesus, I'm thankful for me. I'm not going to complain about this stuff I've got because God gave it to me. I'm not going to complain about my wife or my job because I know they're all gifts from God. You see, that's worship. Worship in the now. Worship in the now. Oh, I'll worship next Sunday. No, no, no. Worship now, and worship in a way that your future family sees you worshiping. Fathers, on Father's Day, you need to be worshipers, and your kids need to see you worshiping. Your kids need to know that you love Jesus. Your kids need to know that you don't care who knows about it. Your kids need to know that you are obedient to the Word of God and that you are a worshiper. They need to know it. Why don't you start that now? How about this? Read God's Word. Put God's Word in your heart. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't do it later. It'll save your future family if you'll do these things and so much more now. Yeah. You know, God's calling you to something great. He's calling you to something great. How do you know that? You don't know anything about me. Well, that's true, but I know a thing or two about God. He calls us to great things. So I think I can look you right in the eye and tell you God's calling you to great things. So why don't you step into them now? Step into them now. I don't know how many people Jesus Christ walked up to and said, follow me. But I know about the ones who in that now moment dropped their nets. Jesus is telling you to follow him today. Can you right now in this moment do it? Can you drop everything and just follow him? We're often too busy struggling with the present problems to save the future. See, when you're living, when we aren't dabbling in the future and the past, what it is that we're so busy juggling the present problems. It's like, I got to work on this bill. I got to pay this bill off. And then I've got to do yard work over here. And then there's those, these other things I need to do. And we're juggling all these things at one time. Oh, this new problem's come on the horizon. We're so busy with it. But we're so busy with our problems that we aren't able to save the future. Surviving the moment doesn't save the future. If you're just getting by today, it doesn't save the future. Do you understand that? In fact, I want to just tell you a really quick story. The bottom line of this story is this, that God wants to show you things in the now. And he wants to teach you things in the now that are spiritual and they're full of faith. And if you'll grab a hold of them right now, they'll save your future. They'll help you walk through future problems. But if you are not aware of the present, if you're just busy juggling and your only prayer to God is that help me pay this bill instead of help me live a life, you're going to miss it every time. I've told you about my latest child. I want to tell you about my first child, William Worth Fluitt. He was born in 2010. He was our first kid. And he was born early. And we went straight into a NICU. And it was very expensive. And it was very bothersome. He was the biggest bother. Sarah was a nervous wreck. I've never seen Sarah so sad. I've never seen Sarah cry so much. We spent the night in the NICU. We had a room in the hospital, but we did not really spend any time in that hospital room. We spent every waking moment with William. In fact, they had to kick us out of his room, and we couldn't bring him home. We couldn't hold him. He was full of tubes. We couldn't feed him. He was fed through a tube. We couldn't hold him because he was breathing through tubes. He was our baby, but he was behind a piece of glass, and it was really sorrowful. And here's what I did as a dad. Here's what I did as a husband. I said, God, I want to fix this. Men, that's what we do, isn't it? We like to fix things, and that's an admirable trait. But I tell you, it is also a stumbling stone for you, because there are things in life, Marshall, we can't fix. As much as I want, I tried the Karate Kid Mr. Miyagi thing where he rubbed his hands together. That's not going to work. There's nothing I could do in that situation. I can't fix it, and nor can I look at Sarah and say, oh, babe, I've got this genius, beautiful thing to say, and it's going to make you feel better. No, nothing could be said. Nothing could be done. So I prayed. Well, I've tried everything else. Now I guess your turn, God. That's what we do. And so I remember I'm in the hospital shower, and I'm praying to God, and I'm saying, God, I'm a stupid man, and I'm a weak man, and there's nothing I can do. Please talk to me. Please show me what your will is in this situation. Teach me. And God said one sentence to me. This is all he said to me. Sometimes this is how God works, Jeremy. He said, they go from strength to strength. That's all God said. And I'm like silent. I'm like, am I supposed to do something else? I'm like, they go from strength to strength. What is that? Okay, they go from strength to strength. So I'm like saying that over and over again. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? So they go from strength to strength. And then it realized, that's a Bible verse. I went to my Bible. I got out of the shower first and dried off and dressed. Leon, that's what I did. All right. And I looked in my Bible and I found that verse. And when I read that verse and I read that chapter, God continued speaking to me. Sometimes God speaks to you and you're supposed to do something. And that's when he'll continue speaking to you. That's big. You need to learn that about your God. And so I started reading this, and the whole verse just, the whole chapter started to preach to me. God just spoke to me in this sermon. And I remember this, I knew I'm supposed to tell my wife this, and it's not going to make her feel better. It's not going to fix the situation, but it's what needs to happen in the situation. And here it is. I looked at Sarah, and I felt so used by God when I said this. I said, Sarah, this is not the last time William Worth is going to make us cry. But what we're standing in the present, we can learn the power of God's grace and the power of his love and the power of his faith. And we can learn that he's always with us. And we can learn something from this moment. And we can not only we will walk through this trial in strength, but we will walk through the next trial in strength, and we will never go from weakness to strength. We will only go from strength to strength. All right. We were so busy trying to fix the situation. We were so busy trying to make each other feel better. We were so busy trying to maintain and survive this situation. It wasn't until we looked to God and we said, okay, show us how to walk from here into the future. That's when everything changed. You got to have those moments. Don't be so busy with your house trouble. Don't be so busy with your marriage trouble that you don't bend on your knee and say, God, show this stupid man what to do. Give this stupid man what to say. I want to speak it to you. You can go from strength to strength in the name of Jesus Christ. You can go from strength in his power to the next strength and power. The Bible also says it like this, that we go from glory to glory to glory. You shouldn't, you can live for God in such a way that you don't have to fall to the bottom of depression. You don't have to fall to the bottom of despair, but you can walk on the water with Jesus. All right. That won't ever happen until you stand in your present and talk to God. I don't know what troubles are coming in your future, family. I don't. I wouldn't even want to know. I would be embarrassed to know. And what would you do with that information? It would be awkward. So thank you, God, for not telling us all that stuff. But I do know this, they're coming. Your future family problems are coming. I'm going to give you a chance to do something about it today. We're going to take some time to talk to God right now in the present today. And I want to tell you that that is your opportunity to do something. That's your opportunity to stand in right in the middle of this and say, God, you said that now is the day of salvation. Come and save me. We talked earlier about eternal life. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Do you know that? If you don't know that, if you're watching this online, you don't know it. If you're in this room and you don't know it, you need to talk to us. You can talk to us. Just contact us on our website. But if you're in this room, I'm telling you, you need to do something with that information right now. You need to come and you need to talk. Not only to God, but you need to come talk to us. You just come in that first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. You can be saved today. You can have a scene change when you allow God to come into your now. Yeah. Do you want that? Do you want that? God has a future for you. He has a family for you. He has great things for you, but you've got to step into his will. Will you come today? It's his will that you'd pray. It's his will that you'd come talk to him. Will you come today? Will you come and talk to him? These altars are open. In Jesus' name, if you're watching this online, why don't you pray right where you are? Why don't you just pray, God, right now, I want you to come into my now. I want you to come into my present situation. I want you to change my past. I want you to change my future. I want to walk with you in the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Come on, Redemption, let's talk.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.